notes, people. Take notes. That's how we roll around here. Break it out of chain. Break out of chain. So last week I started off with how difficult the message was going to be just on me, on folks. And you know what? Jesus is not making this any easier, all right? I do need to say something right now. If there's a kid in here, fifth grade and under, I'm going ahead and I'm giving fair warning. I give it Wednesday night. I can't do this sermon justice and try to tiptoe around it, all right? So maybe if you got a little one and there's things you might not want them to hear, take them to the kids' ministry. All right, I'm going ahead and giving that heads up. I'm not going to be blatant. I'm not going to be gross. But we have to discuss some things in order to get this right. I'm just telling you that up front, okay? And so we are on commandment number 7, and it is very easy. It is one sentence: 6, you shall not murder; 7, you shall not commit adultery. Alright, now, everyone knows what this is, alright? Everybody knows what this is, in its basis. But there's a lot of things that it is not. There's also a lot of things that we need to discuss, alright? Unfaithfulness is not adultery, but adultery is unfaithfulness. Infidelity is not adultery, but adultery is infidelity, alright? They don't coincide. One is one, but one is not the other. You need to understand those things, okay? More than that, we need to go back, because all of these messages, all of the commandments are about going back to why this makes us more like God. And well, God's not married, so God can't commit adultery. So what is this? How does this work? You have to understand something that is one of the core values of our church, alright? We are, and we will always be, pro-marriage, for the covenant of marriage. But as we look through this, and this is going to get uncomfortable for all of us, I'm just letting you know, as we go through this, we have to understand what marriage was when it was created. All right? I have preached a sermon before about God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Okay? They are three in one. Everybody got that? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three in one. We call that the triune God. We call it the Trinity, or we call it a community of one. I say that to say this. God has never been and will never be an individual. He is not. He is a group. He is a community. And the church is the body of Christ, the community of Christ, the coming together of all these things in one. Jesus prayed for that in John. I pray not only for them alone, I pray also for all those who will believe in me through their message, that they may be one, as you and I are one, so that the world may know. So the unity of the church is the most important thing to reach the world. The disunity of the church is the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today. We can't get along. Why would anybody want to be a part of us? Now, marriage is the symbol given by God of that unity, of the making of different parts together as one. And the man shall leave his mother, and the two shall become one flesh. Hebrew word, ahad, many as one. You've heard it before. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is ahad, one. That was spoken right before the Ten Commandments. Listen to me, for I am one God. So, God himself is a unified, unbreakable community of one. So, the breaking of the marriage covenant, and, listen to me, the marriage consummation is the dishonoring of the person of God. Here's how it worked in the Old Testament. When you were to be married, okay, and here's where we get a lot of our arguments for, homosexuality and gay marriage and all of that stuff. There is a major difference, and I'm not against, I'm not talking about that this morning, okay? I'm telling you, there is a major difference in what we would call a civil union in the United States of America and what the Bible teaches as marriage. Okay? Just a huge difference. Huge. All right? Marriage in the Bible began with a covenant. A covenant. Another reason we have a covenant. Okay? God can only bind that covenant. A cord of three strands cannot be broken. So God becomes injected, interjected as the third party in a marriage and binds that in a covenant. But in the Old Testament, you had the marriage covenant and the marriage consummation. Now, you all know what it means to consummate your marriage, all right? But you need to understand how it worked back then, all right? What you would have is you would have the spiritual wedding celebration, all right? The service, okay? What would happen is the priest would come over the man and the wife, and they would be bound by God in their marriage covenant, saying their vows, committing to one another. And then, this is how it would work, everybody who was at the wedding would follow them, because what would happen is, as you know, in the Jewish culture, you would live in a house, okay? And then when it was time for you to move out, your family would basically build on to their house, okay? Your home would be attached to the home of your parents. And then the next home, and the next home, brothers, sisters, and that's how they built the community. So here's what would happen. You'd go out to the city, you'd have the marriage. Everybody would follow you back to what would be your new home. And you and your wife would go inside. And you would consummate your marriage while everybody waited. No, not making this up. This is true. Wedding ceremony, act of sexuality, and then, how crazy is it? You would appear. You would come back out. Everybody going full out what happened. And then, you ready for this? They would have the celebration. Why? Because the marriage wasn't complete until that moment. The act of sexuality between a man and a woman is the physical consummation of the covenant of God that is spiritual. This plays out all through the scripture. Remember when we get to John and it says we start to find out that we're not just physical beings. We're physical beings and spiritual beings. The body can die, but the spirit lives on forever. Nicodemus, and you have to be born of water and of spirit. Alright? You have a physical birth and you have a spiritual birth. And it is your spiritual birth that gets you into heaven, that gets you into all eternity, that goes on forever. Well, in marriage, there is a physical consummation and a spiritual covenant that occurs that makes you one. This is a physical representation of who God is and why God is so opposed to the act of adultery. Here's what it is like. You say, well, it's just sex. Okay. That's the case if it has been demeaned and degraded and put all over the internet and put all over the television and put all over our cartoons and put all over our soap operas and put all over our websites and put all over our thinking and put all, and it over the years becomes nothing like what God intended it to be. Well, Craig, it's not a big deal. To God it is. Because God gives us statements like, I am the vine. You are the branches. And I heard one pastor tell it this way. He had pruned and worked this vine that was coming up one of the gutters of his home. And his idea was to take it across the gutters of his house, come back down, and create this beautiful. And then flowers began to come from it, all right? And it was looking great. Years of work he put into getting this thing and directing this thing to grow the way he wanted. One day he's weed eating around the house. And accidentally cut right through the main portion of that vine. You know what happened? It died, but it took some time. See, the flowers closest to that point started to fade. And then pretty soon, up here, more flowers started to fade and to wither, and the vine started to shrivel up. And he tried to water it. He tried to make it. The only way to save it, to cut it off, go back to that root, not a new root, that root, start at the beginning, and help it to become what it was to be again. This is the way marriage is. This is the way adultery works. Oh, it's fine. Until the flowers start to wither. Until the vine starts to fade away. Slicing at the root. Slicing at the heart. And killing marriages. That's all right, Craig. I've never, since I've been married, I've never gone out on my wife. I wouldn't do something like that. I believe you. Some of you. But here's the part most of us don't want to hear. All right? You don't take a person who has a problem with gluttony. We don't talk about that. But people have problems with gluttony. You know what we do? We talk about the other side. We talk about getting fit. We talk about getting slim. Well, getting fit and getting slim wouldn't be the biggest business in America if everybody were gluttons, now would it? You don't take a gluttonous person to a buffet. It's not good for them. You don't take an alcoholic, somebody who struggles with alcohol. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying the struggle is wrong. To a bar. And you don't allow somebody who succumbs to lust, succumbs to a passion for the opposite sex, to look at things, to see things, to enter the mind. Let me make it clear how God feels about some of these things to you. In Proverbs, it says, a man who looks upon another woman with lust and has adultery in his heart, listen to this, lacks sense. I love the way to put it. Lacks sense. Let me translate it for you. Yes, stupid. Well, that's pretty rude. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's loving. Because stopping you there will keep you from damaging that root. It's already getting in. Job, it is a lustful crime. Job made a covenant, listen to this, with his eyes. He made a covenant with his eyes not to allow the lust to enter into his heart. Leviticus, both parties shall be put to death. Not just the guy who committed, but his wife too, because you have committed adultery against her. The woman, the wife, you have done these things. You have broken the vine. Hebrews, marriage held in honor above all. 105, 1 Corinthians, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Fornicators, idolaters, homosexuals, adulterers. What? A man who has had sex, made love to, physically done parts of another individual's wife or husband is guilty of adultery. Now, most of us don't want to talk about this, but let me be clear. We don't tell our kids not to have premarital sex because it says, thou shalt not have premarital sex in the Ten Commandments. We say it because we don't want our children to become adulterers before they know what adultery is. And I don't mean for hearts to break all over this room. I don't. But let's be clear. There are many, many of us. Dare I say most of us who didn't make it to our marriage, who have had second marriages, who had high school love affairs, collegiate love affairs, struggles in between. And every man, every woman, every consummation lingers on in your heart, lingers on in your head, plays over again and again in your mind, causes problems in the deep relationships that you have. Why? Because God never intended it to be that way. And it hurts. that hurts because it tears away at the fabric of who God is in us. It's painful. It's embarrassing. It hurts. It's scary. Because the bigger issue is, as much as we've hurt, as much as we've woken up the next morning and wished we hadn't, as much as we've said we're never going to do it again and then jumped right back into bed, as much as we've said we're not going to do it again and then the next guy, the next girl, the next thing comes along, as much as we've held our bodies in check, guys, women, you hear me, hard for me to do, but let's just, if we're family, we're going to get real. Walked hand in hand with your wife, with your husband through the mall, and deep back inside, there he was. God, look at the chest on that man. I would never tell my husband, but I just want to put my hand. You laugh because you know I'm right. Guys, I don't know how to say this. Let's use the word backside. Those jeans fit nice. I wonder, you're never going to say that out loud, but you probably should. I'm saying it out loud right now. Taking a risk, because this is the way I want my church to be. I don't have a problem with alcohol. I don't have a problem with money. I don't have a problem with leadership. If Satan wants to get me, he's going to go two places. Pride, because I'm good at what I do. And I've got to be kept in check, and I got people who are happy to do it. And lust. Those jeans just look too good. Those legs, that skin, those eyes. Some of you all are looking at me and you're in the back of your mind, you're going, praise the Lord, it's about time. Somebody said it out loud. And he's saying it in church. And the rest, there's some of you going, I can't believe he's actually admitting this stuff. He's the pastor. And there are others of you who are going, God, I need that freedom. I need the freedom to say I thought she was hot. I need the freedom to say I kind of wanted him. And I'll never let my husband know. But if I let this fire burn, if I let this passion have an ounce of air, adultery is just around the corner. And we need to stop. And I'm going to call you on something now, right in front of you. I'm the only one standing. I'm the only one laying it out there. I'm the only one with my wife in the room and my ex-wife in the room. You think this is easy because I'm good at communicating? You think I didn't lose sleep this week over having to say I look? Over having to say I've wanted? Not just in front of you, in front of them. You know what the kicker is? There's probably 95 of you in here, and 93 of you are right here with me. Then you wouldn't stand up and say it. You wouldn't. You know why? What would my wife think? What would my husband think? What would my church think? Can I tell you that that right there is the problem with church today? You just experienced the single greatest problem, in my opinion, in church today. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and no church people want to admit it. And if you can't admit it, you can't be forgiven for it. Folks, I don't tell you that I struggle with nice jeans and pretty smiles because I need your sympathy. I tell you because I need your help. I don't say it in front of my wife because I'm afraid she doesn't love me. I say it because I know that she does. I say it because every time she tells me how cute I am or how sexy she thinks I am, every time she fakes it. not as shaved as I am this morning in my cute kitty t-shirt. I'm not scared. I'd be more scared if she was hiding. It doesn't scare me when she says, that guy's good looking. It doesn't scare me at all. Because she's unafraid to tell me. That makes our relationship fun. Honest, open, and makes me fall deeper in love with her. And makes me not even blink. Somebody asked me if she's going to cheat on me. Not even for a second. I've been blessed. I've been blessed all through the years with that knowledge. And the whole idea of the Ten Commandments is to make us more like Jesus, more like God. This right here, this commandment right here, is where we're all willing to give a little, take a little, to make excuses. You cannot. Because excuses lead to reasons. Reasons lead to actions, and actions lead to remorse. And we get separated from the Bible. And we get separated from our spouse. And we get separated from our children. And we get separated from everything that God intended. And I don't stand before you innocent. And you don't sit before me innocent either. But until we're ready, until we're ready to stand up and say, I chose to give myself away way too early. I chose to give myself away because I didn't understand. I chose to give myself away multiple times. I chose to give myself away to whoever wanted. I needed love, and I thought that was it. Hey, look, it's all of us. You should see your faces. I love you. But it's never going to get better until we go, yep, that's me. So I guess my sermon this morning is, yep, that's me. Tell you what happens. The spiritual is something we can't see. Okay? And what people don't know about sexuality is this. You've got to imagine. Imagine not a stick figure, but just an outline, like a Gumby outline of a human being. Okay? And imagine inside is who you are. Think of it as the blood flow. Think of it as the life flow. Flowing in all through your body is everything that you are. Okay? And you hook hands with the next person, and nothing really happens there. Alright? But when you have sex with another individual, what happens is it's like those two figures open up. Okay? Instead of just here, it goes like this. And the life flows across, in and out of both figures until you break up, you break apart. You're not doing it anymore. But there's a part of you left in them. And a part of them left in you. And we wonder why girls cry so deeply, why people go into such depression, why people have struggles in their marriage when they've been promiscuous prior, why husbands have such a hard time, wives can't get past what was a long time ago. Why? Because we've all got pieces of everybody else's spirit, heart, soul, life left in us. Do you understand now why God said, I made it amazing for a reason? And I made rules for a reason, to keep you, to keep your spouse, to keep the marriage covenant whole. Sex is for a covenant marriage covenant. between a man and a woman who God joins physically and spiritually. All right, Greg, it's too heavy for me. It's too much for me. I feel guilty. I feel shame. Let me tell you a story. Jesus came down off a mountain, and he went into the temple courts, and he began to teach. And some fired up, pompous, arrogant Christians who were peeping into people's windows till they found somebody who was doing it. And they went into the house while they were doing it and grabbed the woman naked, dragged her out of the house, dragged her to the church, and threw her down in front of Jesus in the parking lot of the church, smiled, looked him right in the eye, and said, "Hey! Moses said you're supposed to stone her! Stone her! She was caught in the act! There is no trial! We busted her! Stone her!" What are you going to do about this, Jesus? You've been preaching love. You've been preaching mercy. What are you going to do about this? Church, we need to hear these words, and we need to hear them good. When it comes to abortion, when it comes to homosexuality, when it comes to politics, when it comes to transgender bathrooms, when it comes to everything you can imagine, you need to hear these words. Let he who is without sin throw the first stone. There is one able stone thrower. And let me tell you what he said. Woman, has no one condemned you? No one, sir. Then neither do I. Then neither do I. And listen to the rest. Go now. And leave your life of sin. Let me translate. Stop it. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help your spouse. And help your children. And you can't get close to God. It separates you from the one that made you. Don't snap the vine. Because the recovery process is unimaginable. But let me be clear. It's possible. God can get you there. Though your sins were scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they are crimson, they shall be white as snow. And I shall separate your sins as far as the east is from the west. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So that adultery, idolaters, fornicators, homosexuals, murderers can stand before Jesus not because they're sinless, but because he saves.
Amen.
There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. You have to admit that you're cuffed. You have to let it go. Let's pray. God, in my spirit, I know that there are a lot of questions that are going to come from this in the hearts of people. What have I done? Where am I going? What about him? What about her? What about, I know that's going on in your heart and in your spirit. I feel it. I hear it. Let me be clear. We have got to stop our minds. We've got to, God, give us the strength to covenant with our eyes. Give us the strength
to push away our thoughts, to flee from the sexual immoralities of our minds. Give us the confidence to hold tight to our marriage. Give us the confidence to continue to consummate, oh God, to repeatedly be one with our spouses. Praise the Lord. God, give us the knowledge and the spiritual guidance to forgive our wives, our children, ourselves. God, break the chains of lust. Break the chains of idolatry. Break the chains of adultery. Break the chains of infidelity. Break the chains of guilt. Please break the chains of shame. Break every chain. Separate our past, our minds, as far as the east is from the west, and give us freedom in you, with our spouse, with our children, and in our church. In Jesus' name, amen. May God's blessings be upon your life, on your marriage, on the process that you will go through over the next few days of thinking on this sermon. May God, in His infinite wisdom, guide you to truth, to forgiveness, to confession, to repentance, and to the hope that He came for all of you. Okay?